Vanderbilt, Astor, and Rockefeller are all names associated with wealth, especially if you live in New York City. Less well-known, perhaps just as important, is Green. Hetty Green, dubbed the Witch of Wall Street by the press. She defied the roles dictated by the society of her day and became one of the most influential Americans in the years following the Civil War, rivaling all those male captains of industry in wealth and business savvy. In her new book, The Richest Woman in America, Hetty Green and the Gilded Age, Janet Wallach explores how she made her money, her lasting impact on the country, and other matters. It's all published by Doubleday, and I'm very pleased it has brought Janet Wallach to our show today. Hello.
Hello,
Welcome
Leonard.
Back.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Considering all of the achievements I've just mentioned, why is her name not better known?
That's a good question. I think, first of all, there are no direct heirs to Hetty Green. She did have a son and daughter, but they had no children. So there's nobody out there to wave the flag.
And they died before she died, didn't they?
They died children? After she oh. did, yes, but left no heirs. And the other thing is, there are no foundations, no great institutions, no buildings named after Hetty Green, and so except for Wellesley College, which had a...
So that's something of her own doing. Was she interested in being remembered?
I don't think so. In fact, she preferred being anonymous, although sometimes she loved flirting with the press. I think, you know, to some extent, she did enjoy that. But she did not want to be known really for her money. She wanted to be loved for herself.
And she gave money anonymously. In fact, didn't always let it be known that she had given money.
That's right. One of her closest friends was a woman named Annie Leary, who was a great Catholic philanthropist. And I think she pushed Hetty to give money. Her son, Ned Green, pushed his mother to give money, and others. There was correspondence with Columbia and Barnard College.
And she's credited with saving New York a couple of times during financial crises.
Hetty Green was known as the largest lender to New York City. That's an enormous feat, if you will. So, she did save New York City. When the city needed money, she loaned it at low interest rates.
Was she politically active? Was she a supporter of women's suffrage and workers' rights?
Oddly enough, she was not a supporter of women's suffrage. But that's not so different from a number of well-known, strong women. Gertrude Bell, whom I had written about, who was the person who really created modern Iraq after World War I. Margaret Thatcher, Indira Gandhi, many strong women, I think, much preferred to be successful in a man's world.
But she did say things that were startling. She once told the Brooklyn Eagle, "The poor have no chance in this country. No wonder anarchists and socialists are so numerous."
That's right. She did have great empathy for the poor and for the wage earners. She came from a Quaker family in New England, in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and I think she was brought up, I know she was brought up, to respect everybody.
What was the role of women in Quaker society at that time?
Well, Quaker women were highly respected, and you know, many of them ran businesses and were strong members of their community. They had their own place in the meetings, their own groups to reconcile conflicts and things like that. You know, in whaling communities, when the captains were out to sea for such a long period, women were extremely important. And Hetty's spinster aunt, who helped to bring her up, was a strong figure in the community.
How did she come from wealth?
She did. She came from a family of whaling merchants, so they were one of the most prosperous families in the most prosperous town in America. That was New Bedford at that time. And she thought she would inherit all the money because she was the only heir.
Because her siblings had died?
There were no... Well, yes, there was one infant who died, who was born after Hetty, a boy, disappointed her father enormously. And so she was the only one, and she was angry when she found out that most of the money that was supposed to be given to her or left to her was put in trust, and she was not allowed to touch it. So she took the $1 million that she inherited directly and turned that into $100 million by 1916.
Her father sent her away to live with her grandparents. She also lived with other relatives. Why?
Her father was so angry and enraged that she was not a boy, that his first child was not a boy, that he just went wild and was so angry at his wife, Hetty's mother, that she took to her bed. And so they dismissed Hetty from the house but before the age of 2 and sent her to live with the grandfather and the spinster aunt.
That was Sylvia Howland?
That's correct.
Who also left money. And a lot of Hetty's story is, I want the full inheritance.
That's right. There was an estate of $2 million, and Hetty thought she was going to get it all. That, she said, was the agreement. But the aunt betrayed her and left half to the town and friend and the other half to Hetty. And the half that was left to Hetty was put in trust. So that, to her, was the great insult.
And then she contested the will. Were people critical of her for doing that?
Furious with her. They thought that she was greedy and miserly and just a mean, nasty person. In fact, she felt that she had truly been abandoned by her family, betrayed by her family, and that the only value that she had was her wealth. And to be denied that was to be denied her existence, her essence.
Well, obviously she had a lot of business savvy because she took the money she received, not small amounts, despite the fact that she expected a lot more, and she grew it into large amounts.
Exactly.
So how did she do that?
She was a shrewd investor. She understood that the most important thing was to use her common sense. I think that was her greatest asset, and she would say that too. She kept a cool head in the frenzy of the market. So when everybody was buying, she was selling. And when everyone was selling, she was buying. Those were important things to do at the time.
She learned some lessons from watching her father at business. He had to make adjustments when crude oil was discovered in Pennsylvania, because whales had been the main source of oil?
Whale oil fueled the houses and factories, not just in America, but all over the world. And whale parts were used for everything from paint to perfume to corsets to buggy whips. So, yes, whales were an enormous factor. And once her father saw that fossil fuel was coming in, he was shrewd enough to get out of the business and come to New York, where he became a shipping merchant.
And then, of course, she came to New York.
That's right.
Where she earned the nickname the Witch of Wall Street. My guest is Janet Wallach, who has written a book called The Richest Woman in America, Hetty Green in the Gilded Age. Why the witch? Just because she was such a success?
Yes.
But she was unpleasant, some people felt, wasn't she?
You know, if she felt that people were trying to take advantage of her for her money, yes, she was unpleasant. But for the most part, she was quite charming and warm. And it was the quickie stories about her that were the nastiest. When reporters spent time with her, they enjoyed her. They respected her. They admired her brains and her wit. So it's a very unfair title, I think.
Well, the other title she got from the Guinness Book of World Records was the world's greatest miser.
She was frugal, I'll say that. She came from a Quaker family that stressed simple living and plain dressing and watching your pennies. And in fact, her father always told her to protect her money, increase her wealth, and pass it on to the next generation. And she really cared about that, about the wealth, about creating it, about money. And she didn't care about where she lived or how she dressed.
And she moved a lot to avoid having to pay property taxes, but that's a whole other issue. Her cheapness was rumored to extend to medical care for her children.
That's a myth. I explained in the book, it is said that she wouldn't pay for doctors to take care of her son's leg and that he had to have it amputated. In fact, she did everything she possibly could to save his leg. And unfortunately, there was no way to do that. And so when he was older, he had to have it amputated, and he never held that against her.
It's also said that when she died, they found slivers of soap that she'd saved. Any truth in that?
I don't think so. But, you know, funny enough, a friend of mine was telling me just the other day about her aunt, who was a school teacher and who was such a clever investor. She made $10 million just recently, and she would cut the soap in her house in half. Mm-hmm. So.
You frequently compare Hetty Green's investment style to that of Warren Buffett.
I do. Because
so was she a more modern investor?
She was. She invested. She didn't gamble. She didn't take big risks and use a lot of margin. She used her own money. And she bought for the long haul. And, you know, Warren Buffett had said not that long ago that financial crises are an investor's best opportunity.
And she lived through several depressions that were brought on by speculation. So she had an investment approach that was, as you say, for the long term rather than the short term.
Exactly. I thought it was so interesting that the financial crises in 1873, 1893, 1907 were so similar to what we are experiencing today.
Now, her maiden name was Robinson. We, in discussing her, and I have discussed her in the past, always forget that she was married. Was her husband wealthy?
Her husband was a self-made millionaire and had gone to Manila and China, where he was a shipping merchant and made a lot of money before they met. He was a very smart businessman.
And they signed a prenuptial agreement.
They did. Her father wanted her to marry Edward Green, but said only if you live on Edward's income, and Hetty's responsibility is to take care of her wealth.
Well, how long did the marriage last? She had certain personality quirks. I imagine he wasn't so easy to live with either.
They married in 1867. By 1885, things had gone really bad. Edward crossed the red line and used her money as collateral, and that did it. She sent him packing.
Did they ever reconcile?
They did. In fact, they had a good relationship over the years.
Now, whatever else can be said about her, unlike her male counterpart, she never bilked the government out of tens of millions of dollars or crushed union organizers or sold defective products. Was she, in a way, a model capitalist?
You could say that, except for the fact. Well, and there was one other thing that she did. She was very upset with Teddy Roosevelt because she didn't feel that he didn't do enough to bust the trusts. And you know, we're seeing some of that today with these enormous corporations. I would say, you know, in many ways, yes, she was a model capitalist, except for the fact that she did not like to pay taxes.
There was a song written in 1905 called "If I Were as Rich as Hetty Green." I guess it hasn't lasted as long as some of the songs with Rockefeller in the lyrics. But have you heard it?
I've seen it. I've not actually heard it. I'd love to.
So do you think that there's a lasting legacy of Hetty Green?
I think her advice on investing and her advice to women to know about business, to study finance, if it only makes you a better partner for your spouse, you'll be helping yourself and helping your life. But very important for women to be independent financially and to educate themselves so that they can succeed in the world on that level.
Well, she wasn't the only woman on Wall Street. Victoria Woodhull, who was a women's suffragist and important, ran for president,
right.
Also was on Wall Street, and she failed.
Well, she failed, and her Wall Street technique, I think, was more spiritualist than it was student. Hetty really worked hard at it and knew her companies. And when she invested, she really understood those companies and properties.
Janet Wallach will be reading and signing books on October 11th at 5:30 at the Museum of American Finance. That's at 48 Wall Street at William Street. You can RSVP through our show page at WNYC.org. The book, The Richest Woman in America, Hetty Green in the Gilded Age, published by Nan A. Talese's imprint at Doubleday. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you for having me.